The Mind's Eye by Oliver Sacks. Read for you by Oliver Sacks and Richard Davidson. In January of 1999, I received the following letter. Dear Dr. Sacks, my very unusual problem in one sentence and in non-medical terms is, I can't read. I can't read music or anything else. In the ophthalmologist's office, I can read the individual letters on the eye chart down to the last line, but I cannot read words. And music gives me the same problem. I have struggled with this for years, have been to the best doctors, and no one has been able to help. I would be ever so happy and grateful if you could find the time to see me. Sincerely yours, Lillian Kallier. I phoned Mrs. Kallier. This seemed to be the thing to do, although I normally would have written back, because although she apparently had no difficulty writing a letter, she had said that she could not read at all. I spoke to her and arranged to see her at the neurology clinic where I worked. Mrs. Kallier came to the clinic soon afterward, a cultivated, vivacious, 67-year-old woman with a strong Prague accent, and related her story to me in much more detail. She was a pianist, she said. Indeed, I knew her by name as a brilliant interpreter of Chopin and Mozart. She had given her first public concert at the age of 4, and Gary Graffman, the celebrated pianist, called her one of the most naturally musical people I've ever known. The first intimation of anything wrong, she said, had come during a concert in 1991. She was performing Mozart piano concertos, and there was a last-minute change in the program, from the 19th piano concerto to the 21st. But when she flipped open the score of the 21st, she found it, to her bewilderment, completely unintelligible. Although she saw the staves, the lines, the individual notes sharp and clear, none of it seemed to hang together to make sense. She thought the difficulty must have something to do with her eyes. But she went on to perform the concerto flawlessly from memory and dismissed the strange incident as one of those things. Several months later, the problem recurred, and her ability to read musical scores began to fluctuate. If she was tired or ill, she could hardly read them at all, though when she was fresh, her sight reading was as swift and easy as ever. But in general, the problem worsened, and though she continued to teach, to record, and to give concerts around the world, she depended increasingly on her musical memory and her extensive repertoire, since it was now becoming impossible for her to learn new music by sight. "I used to be a fantastic sight reader," she said, "easily able to play a Mozart concerto by sight, and now I can't." Occasionally, at concerts, she experienced lapses of memory, though Lillian, as she asked me to call her, was adept at improvising and could usually cover these. When she was at ease with friends or students, her playing seemed as good as ever. So, through inertia or fear or a sort of adjustment, it was possible for her to overlook her peculiar problems in reading music, for she had no other visual problems, and her memory and ingenuity still allowed her a full musical life. In 1994, 3 years or so after she had first noticed problems reading music, Lillian started to have problems with reading words.